Hello, we are The Promise of Love, bringing to you The Love Effect.
A podcast that brings you real insight and real stories about real relationships.
Welcome back. We're going to do a story today. So I'm actually catching my husband off guard a little bit the story. So this is a guy named Joe.
Joe.
Yes.
As in a cup of?
Really. And he meets this young lady. So he meets her and let's say the old fashioned way, because these days you can meet people online. But he meets her and he falls in love with her. And she wasn't quite ready to fall in love with him, but eventually she did.
Mm.
So the catching off guard part is, once they are falling for each other, when should sex come in the picture?
Oh my goodness. Are you asking the old me or the new me?
Really?
Really?
I'm asking in you, in general.
In general, what would I suggest to others?
Yes.
Okay.
A godly answer, please.
A godly answer.
Yes.
Very good. Well, it just so happens that the best answer is also the godly answer. Because God gives us suggestions, advices, and directions to follow that are really for our better good, even if it's sometimes not what you want. For example, you should wait until you are in covenant with that person to have sex. And the reason I say that is because there's this reality called a soul tie. And a soul tie, it doesn't require sexual interaction to form. It comes from intimacy.
Okay.
Now, a soul tie, whenever you are intimate with someone, you get this bind to them that is very difficult to sever. And sometimes you'll have that intimacy. The love tie doesn't have to go both ways.
Okay.
Just because you feel that intimacy with somebody else does not mean that that person is going to feel that intimacy with you.
Okay.
So you could find yourself very much tied to someone.
Very quickly?
Very quickly, yes.
Okay.
Sex will accelerate that feeling of being tied to somebody. But that person may not feel tied to you, and they could very easily discard you, walk away, leaving you feel like, how can it possibly be that they don't have the same feeling for me that I have for them? I feel like they're a part of me. I feel like I've given a part of myself to them. Clearly, they don't feel the same.
Okay, so, like I said in the beginning, so Joe felt about Scarlett. So what type of love did he have for her first? Was it love or was it a soul tie?
Ah, so how do you tell the difference between love and a soul tie?
Exactly.
Wow, you are catching me off guard with that one. A soul tie has no reason to it.
Okay.
Whenever you love someone, I know this is going to sound a little clinical, but I feel that there should be some things that you can, some tangible things about that person's personality. Why do I love them?
The personality, their character.
Personality, their character, their heart, their integrity, what they stand for, how my heart aligns with theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things that long-lasting, enduring love can build upon.
Okay.
But if you look at someone and you say, look, we've got, there's really nothing there that we can build on except the intercourse that we had. That's when you can start to question, maybe I just have a soul tie with this person, because if it weren't for the sex, we really wouldn't have anything going.
And that's after marriage? What are you talking about? You said sex.
Well, that's why you find that enduring love before you have sex.
Okay.
You find that enduring love as the basis for a long-term marriage.
Okay. So you shouldn't have a soul tie with someone. You shouldn't sleep with them. You get that soul tie.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Okay.
You shouldn't.
We just want to make that clear.
And the reality is, there are those who will sleep with someone to generate that soul tie, to artificially create that feeling of love.
Ooh, wow.
And since it is artificial, it doesn't last, and that's what leads to broken hearts.
Okay, so unpack a little bit about love versus soul ties.
Love versus soul ties. Well, in a podcast we recently released, it may have even been the last one, we talked about several different types of love, right? There's the agape love, which is the unmerited, unconditional love, right? The kind of love that God has for us, the kind of love that when we say God is love, that's really the kind of love we're talking about. But then there's also the eros, which is the erotic, the passionate love. There is pragma that we mentioned, which is the practical, enduring love. So all these different types of love. Now, a soul tie can be equated to a passionate love, but there's also another type. Yes, another Greek specified type of love is mania, which is the obsessive love.
Is that crazy love?
It can be crazy love. It's probably where that term comes from.
But the mania does mean crazy.
It does. Oh, okay. Mania does mean crazy. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about that crazy love. You know, sometimes we sing songs that make that sound like a good thing, but it's really an obsessive love. An obsessive love, it feels great whenever it's, whenever that's what you want, whenever you want that person also. But if that's more intense than you're looking for, obsessive love is not just annoying, it can also be somewhat dangerous. And that type of love can grow from a soul tie. If I'm feeling that there is part of me with you that I cannot get unless I'm with you, then I might develop that mania, that obsessive love to be with you because that soul tie is formed. And yeah, that's something that you'd like to steer away from. It's definitely something that you don't want around.
So, love, one foot half. Soul ties, not so much.
A soul tie is awesome when you're married to that person. Because a soul tie, it brings you... A soul tie is not a bad thing when you're in covenant. A soul tie, when we talk about two become one flesh,
yes,
you know, it's more than just the combining of bodies in a brief or maybe not so brief moment. You become joined in ways not just at a physical level, but also at a spiritual level.
Okay.
And that's a beautiful thing in a marriage.
And I think also that it is. Now, the other end of that though is when, what happens when it falls apart?
When the marriage falls apart?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you have that tie with that person, and then what do you do?
Here's the thing. Soul ties are not impossible to sever. There is a process that you can go through to sever a soul tie.
Okay.
And what often happens in the process of divorce or even the process of life experiences that lead to the divorce decision, during that process, the soul tie is often severed because someone has been hurt so bad.
It's often severed, but what happens if it's not?
Well, then you have to go through the process of severing that soul tie.
In order to?
To be free of that past relationship. And here's the thing. In today's world, we might joke around about it, but the reality is there's lots of people having premarital sex. So much so that you really cannot condemn them for that. In fact, never condemn someone for something that they've done.
And I have a question before you finish your thought just right now. We can't condemn a person, we can't judge a person because we're not judge or jury. Who is?
Well, there is one who is judge and jury. That's God. And as I said, the reason why I said that we cannot condemn them,
yes,
is because the moment that you condemn someone for doing something,
yes,
you have shut them out of redemption. You have pretty much told them there is no hope for you. And that's not the case.
Yep.
It's not the case at all. So yeah, I don't think that we can condemn someone for having premarital sex. We have both been married before. We've both been divorced. We both have children from other marriages. So clearly, you and I were not our first. So I would be somewhat hypocritical if I were to condemn someone for having sex with someone before their current marriage. If that soul tie has not been severed from a previous relationship, in today's world, it's really quite common for someone to have had sex with someone else before they marry, before they meet the spouse to be. And again, I can't condemn someone for that, but the reality is whenever they do that, they start to bring along baggage into the relationship, bring baggage into the marriage.
And they should have dropped their baggage off at the door before they even get into that relationship.
You should.
Or their marriage, yes.
You should. But sometimes that baggage is tied to your ankle through what's called a soul tie. You may think that you've dropped it at the door, but whenever your marriage hits a rough spot, whenever you find yourself a little less than blissfully content, your mind might wander back to that relationship as something that you still fondly carry, even though you thought you had left it at the door. So even if you don't think that you are being affected by a soul tie, even if you don't think that you are still dwelling on a past relationship, it's still a good idea to break that habit, to break that tie, to sever it, to ensure that it does not come back up later when it can really do your relationship or your marriage some serious harm.
I like it. So I caught you off guard.
You did. It's a topic that I am familiar with, soul ties, and I don't see a lot of divorcees pining over their ex. Usually it's, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I'm out of that relationship. I'm so glad that we got divorced. There is no way I'd still be with him. You know, there's so many times that someone would say, oh, I am so much better off now. Mm-hmm. However, there are those that still cherish the marriage that was lost. And there are those who, even though they say there is no way, they are somewhat in denial of what they really feel. And yes, they do move on intelligently, intellectually. They move on. They have accepted it. But there's still a piece of them that they've left behind in that old marriage or that old relationship. And yeah, that does need to be addressed. That does need to be severed for the current relationship to be all that it can be.
I understand that, and I think the statement you said is true. But what about your children? Or what about if you have children with your former?
Yes, I do. They're amazing kids. I love those kids.
So the question was, what happens if you have children? That means there's still part of them that's part of the former person.
Yes and no. You gotta look at your children as their own individual beautiful beings. They are from God. God might have used you and your ex as the vessel to get them here to this earth,
okay. But
you love them.
Of course.
It's not a matter of loving them because I love my ex. It's not a matter of loving your kids because you love the person to help bring them into this world. You love your kids because of who they are. And if you can look at them, not without seeing your ex, but just look at them and see them. See the beauty that is them. Even if they did bring along some characteristics from your ex, that's fine because that's part of who they are. And they are beautiful in their own way, in their different ways. They are beautiful kids. And so, you know what? There might be part of your ex that you cherish in your kids, but they are, in their own rights, beautiful in and of themselves. Love them that way.
Okay.
So you got any other curveballs to throw at me?
No, that was it. You did a great job. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to The Love Effect. Respectfully, we ask you to hit that subscribe button to help us keep this going. And if you'd really like some detailed guidance on how to find and confirm true love, come visit us at stepstofindtruelove.com. That's www.stepstofindtruelove.com. Blessings to you.